Chapter 40. This is nowhere. At least not anywhere Sloan can identify. Out there is the consumptive void of space. No planets, no space stations, no other ships. Nothing and nowhere. The little cargo ship is the only thing out here. Sloan cuts the engines. It drifts. The ship could be her tomb, she realizes. Every breath she pulls through her chest feels like she's inhaling broken glass. At least the bleeding has stopped. As she shifts in her seat, her pants peel away with a crackle as the tacky seal of dried blood breaks. Survive. Fight. Get Rax. She ponders opening a comm channel. In her head, she conjures a message to Rax. A bitter threat that tells him she's coming for him. Even though truly, she's dying here in the void. He will always be forced to look over his shoulder in case she might be sneaking up behind him with a whetted blade. It would be a wonderful curse to pass along. A small castigation sent preemptively from beyond the grave. Her finger hovers over the button. Sloane's mind is muddy. She thinks instead to go find medical help. Certainly she deserves survival. But where would she go? She fears the Empire has now fallen fully into the betrayer's hands, and anywhere else might earn her a one-way ticket back to Chandrilla. Because by now, she suspects the word is out for her capture. She imagines her face up on a bunch of holoposters like a common criminal. What a crass indignity. No, she has to wait. She sent out her message. She made her play. She can't get to the junk moon on her own, but someone else can. Wait. The realization slowly comes to her that she is not alone on this ship. That is a mad, impossible thought. It is clearly her body dying. The toxins are running laps through her now. She's hallucinating. And yet, she feels someone's gaze boring into the back of her head. Paranoid, she turns around. A man is standing there. Pale, mussed-up hair. He has a blaster. A small graphene blaster. Get off my ship, she murmurs, her words a smeary mess. You did this to me, the man says. Put you on a cargo ship in the middle of nowhere? She barks a mirthless laugh. Hardly. How did you get here? I saw your uniform. I followed you. To get answers.
Why announce yourself now?
Because I wanted to see what you were doing. Her chin dips.
You won't find any answers from me.
You turned me into a monster!
Sloan blinks. He looks familiar.
You are one of them.
She doesn't have to explain to him what that means. One of the captives turned murderers. A traitor made by the Empire. Not her Empire, though.
Yes, the man trembles. And you're going to pay for it.
I'd rather not, since it's not me that did this to you. The blame falls squarely on someone else's shoulders.
Her words slur together.
I don't even know what happened there. I was set up. Same as you.
Not the same as me! The man screams and fires the blaster.
She doesn't flinch. Her mind is slow. Her body hurting. And the shot comes and goes before she even realizes what happened. The bolt scores the steel above her head. She blinks.
You missed.
If you didn't do this, who did?
A man named Gallius Rax. At least that's the name he gives. You want whoever did this to you? Go have it him.
Her eyelids flutter as her chin dips.
Leave me in peace.
You know him. You can help me.
I look like I can help anybody. Can't even help myself.
You're hurt. She rolls her eyes.
You don't say. Idiot.
The man seems personally upset by that. Thin-skinned, this one. You haven't even touched the med kit under your seat.
Med kit? What? Under the...
Her hand brutishly paws the space beneath her chair.
Sure enough, she feels something. Oh.
Who's the idiot now? He chides.
Still can't save me. Got shot.
The stranger grumbles, then tucks the blaster in his waist before hunkering down and pulling out the kit. He pops it open with both thumbs and draws out something that looks like a wide-mouthed scatter blaster. Still grousing, he pulls out a wad of what looks like gray hull putty, shoving it unceremoniously into the mouth of the weapon. Hold still, he says. This may hurt.
What are you?
He grabs her hard, crams the device right into her wound. The gun shudders, and then the pain hits like a comet. Hot and terrible. It burns her up from the inside, and she can't breathe. All she can manage is a howling gasp as she doubles over, trying hard not to weep. Unconsciousness takes her with its teeth. Eventually, it lets her go again. And when she awakens, she's on the floor of the ship, on her side. A puddle of drool pools underneath her.
Whoa.
Back to Patch Gun, the man says, sitting in the co-pilot's chair. Healing web epoxy. The Rebellion used it from time to time. We got covert training on how to stay alive to fight longer. The stuff is inside, mending what can be mended. Eventually, you'll have to get to a real doctor. It isn't a perfect fix. She feels like someone punched all her insides. But she also feels clearer. And when she takes a breath, it doesn't feel like needles stuck in her lung meat. Well, that's something.
Thank you, I suppose.
He points the blaster at her. Now, take me to this Rax.
If only it were that easy. I can't just push one of these buttons and make him appear. He's not a hologram.
Though really, he might as well be.
Getting to him will be a long con.
Let's get started. She shrugs.
It's not that easy. I'm waiting for information.
I know. I heard you make the call. Who is Mercurial Swift?
Bounty hunter I work with sometimes. Tell me, though, what's your name?
It's... The rebel hesitates. Brenton.
I'm Sloane.
They wait like that for a while, talking here and there, mostly just sitting in silence. Comes a point when she starts to fade out, and then when she startles awake, Brenton is right next to her, damn near face to face. She's about to grab for him, but he says, "Incoming comm!"
It's him. Mercurial.
He appears above the dash, a blue ghost rising from nowhere, a cocky tilt to his stance.
Sloane?
Tell me,
she hisses.
You're pushy.
I'm paying to be pushy.
You know Imperial credits are damn near worthless, right? Might as well be plasto chits traded during a game of Pazok.
Through her teeth, she says,
then I'll pay you back in favors. 10 favors. 100. A whole Star Destroyer back to the walls with favors.
And here she almost loses it. Almost starts coughing. But she bites it back and holds her tongue. This stranger on board her ship has already seen her be weak. Mercurial will not be afforded the same luxury.
Now did you get to Quan Chi? Did you find the ship?
The hologram hesitates.
I did.
And?
Amita was right. He had droids. I had a slicer take a look.
Did you find anything on Rax? Anything at all?
Mercurial nods.
I did.
tell me!
Infinite favors, you say?
He doesn't give her a chance to confirm.
Your friend is from a world in the western reaches, right at the edge of unknown space. Jakku. I'll uplink the coordinates.
The drive console dings. A map shows on the screen, charting the hyperspace path through to Jakku. It's all she needs. So she finishes up with,
"Good. I owe you."
Then she ends the transmission. She sets a course for Jakku. The Ravager launches through hyperspace. Those gathered around the table with Gallius Rax at its head know where the Superstar Destroyer is headed, and as yet, none of them are quite sure why. They give each other furtive looks. Obdur looks to Hux. Hux looks to Borum. Only Rand keeps his eyes forward, a sign of civility, loyalty, and fear. Rax appreciates that.
"By now you know that our precious Grand Admiral is lost to us," Rax says. He shakes his head and clucks his tongue. "We will, of course, make every effort to get her back from the clutches of the New Republic, should we discover that she is alive. Thankfully, she is well trained in resisting interrogation. We have no expectation that she will give up the location of the fleet. She will be true to us."
It's Hux that speaks. He's agitated when he says,
"She knew. She knew what would happen. Are you saying Grand Admiral Sloane was in on it all?"
"Of course. I only advised her on this plan, but the plan was hers all along. Hers is an incisive mind, and the loss of that mind leaves us in the lurch, doesn't it?"
Together the men nod.
"As such, it is vital we preserve her vision of the Empire. And we need to preserve her leadership and the vision that directed her leadership."
Rax pauses, letting his words hang in the air.
"Are you claiming the mantle of Emperor?"
Borum asks.
Rax hmms. "I think not. I'm not worthy."
"Grand Admiral, then?"
"No. I'm far too humble for such mighty titles. As I am the advisor to this group and to the Empire at large, I shall take for myself the title of Counselor to the Empire, serving as an interstitial leader only until Grand Admiral Sloane returns to us."
"This is unprecedented,"
Borum blusters. Of course the old man would be the one to protest. Age brings stubbornness. Age diminishes vision.
"Counselor is not a title in our record, and it leaves us effectively leaderless."
"Our record must evolve, much as the Empire must evolve,"
Rax says sharply. Too sharply, he fears. He must maintain the illusion. He must lead his men to the conclusion he seeks, not the conclusion they want or expect.
"Again, I expect this to be a temporary title."
Borum again.
"As temporary as the Emperor's title when he ceased to be Chancellor of a lost republic."
At that, Rax smirks.
"Perhaps."
"And why Jakku?"
The General is pressing his luck.
"Jakku is a wasteland. It has no strategic value to us. No resources, no populace to enslave. It has..."
"It will be our proving ground," Rax says. "We will test ourselves on Jakku. And we will do so far from the eyes of the galaxy. Far from the eyes of Mon Mothma and her sycophants. And when the time is right, when we have whetted ourselves to a vicious point, we will strike once again. The Senate is injured. The Republic is wounded. We will go in for the kill. But it is too soon, and we are too weak."
In their eyes, the firelight of uncertainty and fear. That is fine. He needs them only so long.
all of them but Hux. Hux will be necessary.